Amen. You can be seated for a little bit. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And then the earth shook and the rocks split and the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that resurrection power today. And it's because of that resurrection power, Lord, it's because of that what you did on the cross, we are alive today. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with such a power, with such a love, with such a breaker anointing in this place. And we expect great things to happen. And Lord, we just want to say, here we are. Here we are. Here we are. We want to sacrifice our lives to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You created us as walking revivals on two legs. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, you're a walking revival on two legs. You are. Come on. You are a walking revival on two legs. It's for me such a privilege to be here also. Everybody home, welcome. It's Easter Sunday here at Catch the Fire. And it's an amazing time. And we had an amazing Fresh Wind Conference. Sorry, it is. And it was great. And the Holy Spirit showed up in such a way. And it was packed with young people. And I liked seeing the older people. I saw a man of, he was like 86 years old. And he almost lost his teeth. He was jumping so much, like he was putting it in. And he was sitting there. I laughed so hard. I said, yeah, you know, when we talk about a generation, it's not about ages. It's about a people group just longing for revival. And I'm so happy to be here with my wife, Rebecca. Rebecca, maybe you can stand up. That's my wife, Rebecca. Give her a big hand. We're going to see how we do with time, but normally she doesn't like platforms. She doesn't really like to come up, but we really felt this morning that she should say something. I mean, amen. Are you all right? Yeah? Maybe you saw... Who saw the movie Furious Love? Not many. You could get it. It's an amazing story. Who saw Fingerprint of God? Okay, so the second movie is called Furious Love. And my wife actually, they interviewed her, and she played Esther in the movie. But in the reality, her name is Rebecca. That time we didn't feel comfortable of really saying who she really was, because she has a very terrible past. And the Lord is going probably to share something through you, what Jesus did in your life, Rebecca. It would be awesome if you could share that without a mist of your face. And a secret name. That would be awesome. Are you okay with that? Yeah? Okay, cool. Give her a big hand. I mean, she's courage. Courageous. Yeah. Well, I just want to share a little bit with you. In 1999, actually, I came here to this place. And I just really want to honor John and Carol. They are, of course, in Australia right now. But shall we just give them a big hand from here, from Canada? We just bless you, John. We bless you, Carol. They just wrote an amazing email, and we feel so amazed and honored to be here with you. Also, many others. I think the Fresh Wind team is amazing also. So Ben and his whole team, shall we just give them a big hand? Come on. I mean, they're amazing. And Steve and Sandra and all the others, the Bootsmas, and it's an honor to be here. In 1999, I came here. I was burned out. I couldn't go on anymore. I was a missionary in Kosovo. I worked for David Prince. And he sent me out to a nation called Kosovo. I worked there for several years in a war zone. And we saw many dead people. And we saw Holy Spirit, but we saw also the other side, the death and the devastation. And I came here as a Baptist boy. And the Lord just really overwhelmed me with His Holy Spirit. It's an amazing story. It was here in 1999. And we came back several times, and I just want to show you a little video. Are you in for a little video what God is doing all around the world? Because, you know, Toronto is so part of what God is actually doing all around the world. Even though, you know, I keep seeing this house as a house of heroes. Do you remember David? David was in a cave, and he was training 400 broken people. We read it in the Bible, 1 Samuel. And this is like a house of heroes. It's not 400, but thousands of people came here in this place, got trained, got equipped with the Father's love and the Holy Spirit, and went out and do the Great Commission. And so I just want to give you and this house honor of what God is doing still in this place. Some people say to me, are you going to Canada? I thought that fire is not burning anymore. And I was thinking, I rebuke you, Satan, but I couldn't say that, of course. I have to be nice in the Father's love. So, I said, well, you know, it's a lie. Because the fire is still burning. I don't believe in seasons. And it's not to stir something up, because you're going to see. It doesn't matter what I'm going to share with you the coming 30 minutes. Because God is already planned in heaven for this morning what He wants to do. Holy Spirit is going to show up. You know, and in such a way, I cannot wait. But sometimes we get stuck when people say, you know, it's not the season for this, it's not the season for that. I don't believe in that kind of crap. Because Holy Spirit came in and said, I stay with you all the days of your life. The kingdom of God is in you. We have a problem in our thinking. I just was in Israel and people say, we did a conference there, and people say, well, for this kind of nations, it's not the season yet. I say, yeah, just sit down and wait until Jesus comes back. What are you going to do about it? And so it was years ago that some people said to me, Matthew, you cannot go into closed nations because you bring Christians in danger. I said, well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, and I heard many stories. I grew up like with Brother Andrew, probably the older generation know him. My sister is married with her son. He's my personal mentor. He's 84 years old and he's still going for it. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. Actually, he just came from Pakistan and he had a revival meeting with Al-Qaeda. I like that. 84. The fire is still burning. So when we talk about a generation, we don't talk about an age group. It's still burning. And so some people say to me, Matt, you cannot go into closed nations. Well, if people say to me, you cannot do it, I agree. But listen, Shandai, I get naughty. There's something in me, and some people say it's a little bit rebellious. But I'm like, I mean, I want to prove that God is still alive today. I want to make people jealous by saying, listen, there is no closed nation for the kingdom of God. He created that nation. True or not? There are three scriptures in the Bible that talks about the key of David. What opens doors that nobody can shut. And that key is intimacy with the Lord. That's the key, people. And that's what you learned through the 20, 30 years you are here. You learned the intimacy, the Father. But now it's time to connect the anointing with the Great Commission. Because the anointing is for the world. And here we get equipped. So I'm going to show you just a video clip I just got did recently in a very close nation called Myanmar. Burma. Maybe you never heard about it. That's okay. Just believe me, there are 35 million people lived under a persecution. They were very close friends with North Korea. Listen, North Korea is open. And I don't say it like with only words, actually, because we're going in a couple of weeks. I cannot tell dates, but we are going into Pyongyang. Yeah. We go to say, Lord, like Joshua and Caleb, the 10 spies, they said it's not possible, but two of them, Joshua and Caleb, say it is possible. Yes, we see the giants, but like we remember that we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. If we see Goliaths over a nation, if we see Goliaths over a city, Goliaths over our own life, listen, in the anointing, this Goliath becomes a midget. That's the only reason I believe that David was running like a bullet towards Goliath, because mentally he put Goliath above God and with God. And then in the presence of God, this Goliath became a midget. But if you didn't receive the fire and the anointing, you mentally put Goliath towards yourself, and then he becomes, of course, a big giant. Listen, the anointing is here to give you a boldless faith. I don't talk about doing stupid things. But sometimes, you know, we think too much. Are you still with me? A very good friend of me, he just shared a story that a prophet came in his church. And his prophet saw the head of Jesus floating through the revival meetings. His revival meetings. And then he saw the body disconnected from the head walking around. Like a chicken without a head. They can do sometimes stupid stuff. And the head was screaming out, I need my body back. Jesus is crying out, I need my body back. Too many times we, also in church, we just, and I'm a pastor by myself, I know sometimes how difficult it is. But so many times we do the thinking. It will be way easier when we let Jesus do the thinking. And we just do it. Amen? Listen. People around me, they know me. And they say, and they keep saying, Matt, if God can use you, they really can use me. And I know it's a saying almost everybody speaker saying. But it's true. Most of you, you heard about I cannot say that. That word means something different in my nation, but I'm not going there. Actually, Shanta, I don't know what I can say. This is a church morning, Sunday morning, so I don't know. This is not teenagers, but most of the people they know, I'm very ordinary. I can have a nice jacket on, and I love nice clothes, but, you know, I'm dealing with insecurity, I'm dealing with fear, I'm dealing with a lot of stuff, even though I'm in the Father's love, I feel accepted and all that stuff, we still go through some stuff. But listen, Jesus is in you. And it doesn't matter what circumstances you go through, it says in the Word that eternal joy is yours. And the key is thanksgiving. Despite your circumstances, and now probably you say, yeah, but Matt, you don't know where you're talking about. I know exactly where I'm talking about. To be honest, what you're going to see is still the video clip, and you're like, oh, when are we going to see it? Yes, I'm not forgetting it. We're going to see it. It's a long introduction. But just 2 weeks before we went to Myanmar, Burma, we are involved in that nation for several years. We have a list of 50 most close nations, and that's our target to go in the coming years with you. But only 2 weeks before, we were invited to speak at the Catch the Fire conference here in September. And actually, it was that Sunday we would, in September, would speak here in your church, I believe. Was it right, Sandra? Yeah? And something terrible happened. We are not immune for traumatic experience. Some people believe that, but that's not true. It's more, how do you deal in that situation? And so I want to be honest with you that we had a terrible situation. We were packing and ready, full of fire to be part of the Catch the Fire. Mama Heidi, she's our mama. She texted us. She was so excited to see us. And we couldn't wait to be part of this great conference. And I felt such an honor to be here with you. And then suddenly, that day, we just received a horrible phone call. From Rebecca's brother. My wife comes from Seattle, and she's very close with her brother. 6 months before, her brother was married with Emily. Beautiful couple. They were waiting for each other for a very long time, and the Lord said, yes, go, it's green light. They got married, and then Andy was on the line, out of the blue, with a terrible screaming and fear in his voice, and he said, my wife Emily just shot herself. I said, what? Shut herself. Why? She loves the Lord. What is this? We didn't know they had like big problems or what is this? And she just had a miscarriage and something came in her mind. Listen, the devil is still around killing and destroying. And we need to draw a line and say enough is enough. That's the reason we were so excited the last 2-3 days seeing 2,500 because I heard that on a Friday night and the last night were like 2,300 kids in this place. And I'm an evangelist, so I always do plus 200. And I said, okay. Angels, of course, angels. We charismatics, we can make it very nice. Carry all angels. And so, my beautiful wife said, Rebecca, She said to me, Matt, you still have to go to catch the fire. I go myself. We tried to change tickets. It was not possible. It was a mess. And in the end, she ended up being with her brother for 5 days in the hospital. Emily killed herself. She was brain dead for 5 days. We believed in the resurrection. We prayed, we fast, we cry out, we did everything what the Bible tells us to do. We looked to Jesus in the grief. And finally, on September the 20th, it was like, I think on Wednesday, when the Catch the Fire was going to start, Rebecca said goodbye and Andy said goodbye to Emily because they plucked out the life support. And the organs were getting bad, and she wanted to donate the organs to somebody else. She rescued actually 3 people. And her brother, Andy, a great guy. He said goodbye to Rebecca to say, hey, you know, I'm going home. And, you know, it was very sad to take a shower, prepare for the funeral. But he didn't went home to prepare for a funeral. He killed himself also. So the sheriff that day came with the news, we found your brother. Terrible situation. And of course, we canceled Catch the Fire. We couldn't come here on Sunday morning. I still want to say sorry for that. But we really had to be with the family. And we were like, this is real life. So here you are with the fire of God, with the anointing, going all around the world in a disaster. What do you say? Nothing. The family was a chaos. And praise God for Bill Johnson. He heard about it, I think through you guys. I don't know how he heard it, but he came over only for a little while. And he said, Matt, listen, family, listen. Only he could say this. If I was going to say this to the family, they were hitting me with a fivefold ministry. He said, listen, in heaven, you will never ever have this experience because there's no death, there's no tears. It says in the Bible, thanksgiving under every circumstance. Man, what is that difficult? But then we choose with our mind, not with our feelings. We choose with our mind to trust the Lord. And we bow our knees and we start worshiping the Lord. Serious people, now the power of the Holy Spirit is so important. The power and the love of God just sinked into the room. And we sat with each other that night. It feels like Christmas. The whole family, not only we, the whole. And until this day, we are carried by that Father's love. Yes, do we grieve sometimes? Yes. Did we cry? Yes. But listen, thanksgiving under every circumstance is the way out. It's the way out. And there's a story in the Bible. Yes, we go there later. I just feel like the anointing. Let's read very quickly Genesis 11, verse 31 and 32. I just throw out some stuff, and I believe it's from Holy Spirit, and then we go into ministry time, and including Ephidio and Rebecca. Okay, it says in verse 31, and Terah, that's, again, English is my second language, so forgive me for my dialect. And Terah took Abram, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together to go from Ur to the land, into the land of Canaan. And Canaan was the promised land. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And Terah lived 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. I believe that with the story of what happened with us, and with this story, there's something that the Lord wants to touch in some of you in your life, not all of you. But this is the situation. God in the beginning didn't actually spoke to Abraham to go to the promised land. God spoke to the father of Abraham to go to the promised land. And while he was taking his family, while God spoke and he said yes to the call, he went. But then something terrible happened in his life. Because we read some scriptures before that his son was also called Haran, one of his sons. Haran. And when you go to the translation in the Hebrew, it means death. It means a place of burning. It means a place of discouragement. And something terrible happened because his son died. God spoke, go to the promised land, your destiny. We all have a destiny. We all have a promised land. Amen.
But then something terrible happened in his life. A discouragement, a trauma, a loss. He lost somebody. And then we read that he was settling in Haran, exactly the same place as the name of his son. And he chose not to embrace the best of God, but the good enough. Some people are here this morning, and something terrible happened in your life. God spoke, oh, you received that anointing, you received that vision, but for some reasons, traumatic experience came into your life, and you stopped trusting God for the best of Him. And you start building your house around your grief and around your traumatic experience, and actually you say, it's good enough here. Well, God is going to break that shackle off of you. It's just a small delay, and together we choose this morning to choose God again and go into the promised land, into the best of God of your life, because God is daddy. Oh, I screamed too hard, but I'm getting excited about that. Another one, Genesis 16, is just some words I believe the Lord wants to release for a group of people. Genesis 16, verse 7 and 8. But the angel of the Lord, and I believe when it says the angel of the Lord, in capital letters, it's Jesus himself. There's a lot of discussion about. But the angel of the Lord found her, who was this? Hagar, by a spring of water in the wilderness on the road to Shur. And the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, where did you come from and where are you going? And the Holy Spirit prompted me to say this to you, that there is an angel of the Lord with capital letters, and I believe it's the resurrected Jesus. And Hagar was in a terrible situation. She came in the desert. Some of you, you feel yourself in a season. That's the only time that I believe we have seasons. Praise the Lord, not for always. A season of wilderness, a season of desert. And it was in this season of desert, this dryness. You can be in revival and still feel dry. Did you know that? And the Lord said to me, Matt, when I was reading the scripture, for the coming 21 days, I wanted you to tell my people this morning here in this church to sit down by a source, and the source is a water well, is a place of refuge. It's sitting with the Father, listening to Him, to refocus, because some of you, you have so many foxes in your life, you're not focused anymore. Hagar was finding herself in the wilderness, and an angel of the Lord said this, where did you come from? We all can answer that question. If not, I'm going to pray for you. Something is wrong. We all can answer that question. But the next question was a very interesting one. The angel of the Lord said to Hagar, where are you going? My question to you this morning is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, where are you going with your life? Because there's destiny. There's the best of God waiting for you. And even though in revival meetings, in a revival lifestyle, in the Holy Spirit, you can sometimes feel dry and you're wandering around and you forget your focus. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, that you take every fox in our life, that you open up our eyes for our destiny, our purpose, heaven on earth. In Jesus' name I pray. And now we're going to show you the movie. And it's just to make you a little bit jealous. Listen, it's a long story how we get there. We don't have time to do this, okay? But this was 2 weeks after the death of Emily and Andy. Rebecca and myself, we choose not to build our house in the valley of death. Psalm 23 says, you go through the valley of death with the Father. Amen? And so without the money, actually, because we needed a lot of money to pay, because we are actually paying this whole conference, with the permission of the government. Listen, we don't do anything without permission. I don't like to do secret things. I don't like to say I'm a tourist and we do a big crusade. You get shot dead. And I have 3 kids. So I want to use my mind. And because I believe that on the moment you become a Christian, you become a follower of Jesus, the favor of the Lord is upon your life. Are you still with me? And it doesn't matter. You cannot work for the favor. You receive it. It's all grace. But sometimes we have to realize that we have favor on our life. Listen, church, you have favor. And favor opens doors nobody can open. And I say this with passion to you. Why? Because I really believe we are living in the end times. I believe we are going to see the greatest awakening we ever saw in the world history. Because Jesus comes back soon. I still believe that every prayer we pray to God, He is storing that in heaven. But many promises are not yet fulfilled. Millions of people still don't know Jesus. And because there are so many signs that we are living in the end time, and it's all connected to Israel, by the way. I believe we are coming into a season right now, again a season, that God is opening up literally the floodgates of heaven, and all the prayers in heaven are being released on this earth. The reason you're going to see this in a moment, we are doing this stuff, is not because we are so bold, or we are so full of faith. I always say, we are walking into the prayers and the fasting and the tears of our former generations. So get this. And Satan hates it when you start realizing that you have the favor of God on your life, what can do everything. It's not you, it's the favor. And when you realize it's the favor, you say, Jesus, I need your help. That's the reason Jesus tested, what is it? Flip, I should call him Flip. Philip, thank you, Flip. Philip, you were like, Flip, Flip. You see, I got stuck. How do you want to feed the 5,000? And some people say, oh, you know, it was a bad test. No, Jesus wanted to make sure that he knew he couldn't do this by himself. We need Jesus when we want to feed the thousands. Right now, myself and Rebecca, we are feeding 900 kids every day. We are on our knees. Say, Lord, oh, we the favor of you is on our life. Oh, whatever the little lunch we have, we give this to you. And you know what it does? It never makes you like a big man of God. It always makes you like, oh, Lord, I'm this little boy. I'm scared to death. I pee in my pants. Oh, shadadabasandalai. I've a lot of gas, but Lord, you're on your throne. And Jesus, we love you. That's my prayers all the time, even this morning, without a guess. I promise you. What do you believe? You are what you believe. The favor of God is on your life. The favor of God was on Joseph's life. He was 17 years old. The favor was on his life. And from the garbage dump, he came into the White House. Why? Because of the favor of God in his life. Even the world recognized, it says in the word in Genesis, that the Spirit of God was on his life. We're coming into a season right now that the world, not the Christians, but the world is starting recognizing that the Spirit of God Almighty is on your life. Because it opens doors in this economic crisis. This is the time for the church to rise and shine. You can start, Myanmar. Realize again, what you're going to see now. People got persecuted, burned, when they came together in public. What you're going to see now never happened in history. This happened 6 months ago. We said, Lord, with you everything is possible. With the permission of the government, we're going to rent the biggest national stadium in the capital city. We invited even the government, the ministers of parliament to come. Listen, Christians around the world said to me, you are crazy. You are bringing Christians in danger. I said, no. And if we bring Christians in danger, it's even in the Bible. We are living in a time that Holy Spirit wants to break through into nations. And so what you're going to see now is that the ministers of parliament opening up this Christian revival conference, the national TV is broadcasting this for the first time in history live into millions of houses. People were scared to death to come to the front the first time because there was everywhere secret police. But then Holy Spirit broke through. Even though I asked the Lord, Lord, please let it be a very decent meetings. It was 3 days. But you're going to see something, what I personally never really actually saw before, with such a real power. These people are Buddhists who come into Christ. They didn't have meetings about Holy Spirit and how it works. Holy Spirit just first did things and then we had to explain what happened. I like that. Amen? The choir you're going to see, they came together for almost 2 years to prepare in secret in all little small houses and then they all came out. There's all young people, 500 from all different little underground churches who came together in a huge stadium to worship Jesus. And because I believe of this and many other prayers all around the world, the nation is so freaking open right now. Just only 2 weeks. You're serious? It was amazing because the ministers of parliament, because our scripture was Isaiah 61. The anointing of the Lord is there to preach the good news to the poor, to release the prisoners. They released 19,000 prisoners that week. And thousands more after that. The first free elections happened only a week ago. And because of this, America, Hillary Clinton, just 3 weeks after this huge revival meeting, flew into Myanmar to check if stuff was really true. And they realized this is really true. So they released their boycotts on that nation. It's a free nation with all the dangers also. But this year we said, Lord, this national stadium is now it's too small. So we're renting in October an open-air stadium where it can hold around 80,000 people. I want to invite you to come with us, really. This is fun. Okay, started moving.
Religious. So we never had just kinds of just message from the minister. This is the first time. And this gospel music festival also the first time in Myanmar in this Duna Stadium. So the impact will, we hope that through this gospel music festival, all the youth people gathering together and they will know each other, they will make a fellowship with each other. And then Myanmar Christian will unite in Christ. And as we are one body, so we will start together for this harvest.
Freedom in your life you probably never ever experienced in your life before.
Special anointing.
They know, but I told them they see it.
that the Lord's going to release in some moments on the young people between 10 and 20 years old. Everybody is special, but the Holy Spirit really brought me a specific group of 10 to 20 years. Time for the ministry team. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. I mean, really. And I believe that this fire was catched here in this place and is spreading all around the world. Amen? I mean, it's unbelievable what God is doing these days.
By the grace and, of God, the stop it. Walk and the many keeping the
and stop the moving. Yeah, thank you so much. Wow. Well, in some moments, I really believe that I cannot say that same thing will happen here, but what I believe in my spirit that something is awakening because there's such a well here. And if there's maybe dust over it, or it's or not in the well, in your heart or whatever, listen, revival is here. And Canada needs another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And why not here? There's such a rich inheritance in this place. And God is never using only buildings. He always uses people. And most of you, you sacrifice your life for revival. Because this is the fruit of what happened here and still is happening here. I'm part of your fruit. Amen? I never knew about Holy Spirit. I was a Baptist simple boy. And I'm still now a Pentecostal very simple boy. But with the fire and the Father's love. Rebecca, do we still have 5 minutes time? And then we go into ministry. Rebecca, please. Amen. Again, also she. Yeah. I know we're running out. But also Rebecca is a fruit of the resurrection power of Jesus. Because it's Eastern. And we say, Jesus is alive. Well, Jesus is alive in her. She is a star.
Who believes Jesus has the resurrection power? Raise your guys' hands. I am just a living, walking miracle on two legs. And I know that God has a lot of purpose and plans in everybody that is sitting in this room right now. And I just want to give you the crash course of what happened from my birth into where I'm standing today. Who knows who wrote the Satanic Bible? Anton LaVey, raise your hands. Okay, Anton LaVey had this vision about how one of the brides of Satan would fall, and the bride of Satan would have to be replaced with another, and that was me. And so in this open vision he had where I would be born, a place in a time frame, and then he had sent Satanists and high priests to come and raise me. He'd sent in, nannies to come and infiltrate my family. My mom and my dad, they were cursed. They fought a lot because of the curses that were on them, and because of that reason, my mom had several times tried to kill herself throughout her life. So during that time frame, I was being trained to do small things, like move things without touching them, which was like all the simple, basic Girl Scout cookie kind of things in the Satanic Church. And with that, like my brother and my sister were born, and I took care of them as well because there was such a dysfunctional atmosphere in my family's environment that I had to take care of my brother and my sister by myself. So I was like the mom, I was like the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. And I saw things that nobody should have ever seen. I've witnessed animal sacrifices and animal sacrifices and also human sacrifices. With that, I also know where people, they hold like, the people to sacrifice them. I'm talking about like government officials that are infiltrated into the parliament, like people that are sitting like in the high Supreme Court. And that's why I'm like a living testimony. I'm going to expose it all in time, in God's timing. And that's why it's so important that we, as a church and a body, we rise up and stand. We show the love of Christ, and we say, okay, this part, we draw the line in the sand. And with that, I had like not very many friends when I was growing up because of the position that I was supposed to be raised as in the satanic church. And, they took me, and I had like one friend, and she called me. And she was like, I need to get out. And I'm like, okay, it's okay. You're like on a level to scale 1 to 10, like a 6. And I'm like, a 10. So it should be no problem, right? Well, you don't get out of a gang without consequences. And so I met her at this place. And I went into the room and I was like, okay, what's going on? She's like, they're going to come after me. They're going to kill me. So a little bit while longer, I was like, well, just let me talk to them. They pulled up in the driveway. They astral projected themselves in the room. They killed her in front of my eyes. I couldn't do anything. So this was just one of the techniques that they it's all power trip and a fear tactic. The enemy works in lies. He works throughout fear. But my last, how to say it, mission, so to speak, was to go to a conference and to curse a man of God. And I didn't know who this guy was. I heard them talking about the prophetic roundtables that they had several times a year. And this guy was called Benny Hinn. And I don't know if you guys know who Benny Hinn is. Raise your hands. Oh, so everybody knows. That's cool. So we're in there, and we're in the Tacoma Dome. And the thing is packed, like unbelievable packed. And I'm like, up in the nosebleed section in the stadium. So they don't know where we're at. We're like standing everywhere in the building, but they don't know where we're standing because we're dressed normal. We're not like dressed all in black attire, walking down the streets trying to freak people out with our dark makeup. You know, we look like Satanists. They look like everyday people. You know what I mean? They're not gonna. Well, some of them do, some of them don't, but a lot of people, they just look like you and me, normal people, normal families, normal attire. And we're sitting there, and I'm trying to see, like, because I see things in the spirit. I've always seen things in the spirit ever since I was a child. And I was taught to find the hole in where his aura was, which everybody's given a spiritual light. Everybody's given spiritual powers. Everybody's anointed and appointed. Amen? And so I'm trying to figure out where his holes are, and I can't find anything. His white, he had like white penetrating light around him. I couldn't find any holes. I'm like trying to figure out where's the holes, and why is this guy's white light freaking like, it's like coming over the whole crowd. It's like the glory of the Lord was so strongly upon him at that time. It was amazing. And I was just like, okay, number one, we don't mess with white wizards because there's like the good people and the bad people. I mean, the good anointed people and the you got the familiar spirit and you got the Holy Spirit. And he had the Holy Spirit all over him. And I'm like, okay, you can't curse this guy. This guy's going to kill us. Just watch. And they're like, no, let's just keep focusing, try to figure out where his holes are and let's try to find it and try to penetrate through. So I'm just like, okay, fine, whatever. And then in the middle of his preaching, I kid you not, he points over to our section and he says, you three Satanists, right now, stop cursing me. I am a child of the Most High God. And I was like, okay, we're going to die. That's it. We're going to die. We're all going to die. And that's the end of the story. And so he's like, saints of God, you know how he can stand? He's like, saints of God, let's point up and pray these precious people in the kingdom of the Lord, you know? And And I believe that was like an acceleration and a shift to where I'm standing today, is through the prayers of all the saints in that stadium in that time. And A few years later, I stopped going to, how to say, the meetings after that. I started screaming. Electricity was coming on me. I was just like, get me the heck out of here. So they put a black cloth over my head, gave me some drugs so I could calm myself down, escorted me out of the building. And, yeah, it was not so long afterwards. I'd stopped going to the meetings, stopped going to the rituals, stopped going to the sacrifices. I just stopped going altogether. And I was like, okay, what to do? So I started watching movies. And one of the movies that really led me to where I'm standing now today was The Blair Witch Project. It's a stupid movie. Don't ever watch it. They all die at the end. But at the end, these people, they all die. And I was like, I'm just going to wind up like them. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to wind up on the altar, and they're going to sacrifice me in front of the congregation. That's it. I have to get out. For like a split second, I could think for myself. I was like, this is a dead end. There's no love. There's no light here. There's no hope here. I have to get out. And so I called this lady, and I was like, okay, I have to, can I come over to your house? I have to get out of a certain situation that I'm in. She's like, yeah, I was just praying for you. I'm like, excuse me? She's like, yeah, I was just praying for you. Come on. And I booked my train ticket, went over to her house. She picked me up. And long story short, I went through hell for the first 2 weeks living in her house. She didn't get much sleep because of the demons that were manifesting there, because she's like a Christian lady that had taken care of my mom the first 3 times that she tried killing herself. And I was in the house. She called this lady, and this lady, okay, we have to pray and we have to fast to get this this girl out of darkness. And I didn't know anything about the prayer and the fasting thing and the Christian terminology. I go to the house, I take my last dose of heroin, and for like the first time ever, I've always been able to see like demons and colors on people and angels from like the shoulder up, but I thought I had overdosed on my heroin. And I saw the angel from top to the very soles of his feet, which is really amazing. And the love that was all the love of the Father that was all over him and all over the angels and all over me was amazing. And I was like, well, if this is the way I'm going to die, then that's okay. That's great. So we pull up to the driveway. I meet this lady who's now like a major influencer. I call her like my spiritual mommy. She told me names, dates, places, things that nobody should have known. The Lord really spoke to her heart because he knew that he needed to get me that direction, because I know when people lie, you know what I mean? It's like when you're the seeker of truth, you need somebody also to speak to the very heart of you. And she told me things, and she's like, okay, honey, I've got to go catch a plane. You can either give your life to Jesus or you can give your life to Satan. Satan can drag your soul to hell. Nobody had ever talked to me in that sort of tone before. And I was like, okay, I want to give my life to Jesus. And then the demons took over. We had a deliverance for the first time ever. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I got drunk in the Spirit. And Friday, August the 13th of 1999, I gave my life to Jesus. And ever since then, it's been amazing rides, ups and downs, mostly ups.
Very proud of you. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. She really is awesome. And in all the areas, in a way, I really can say that she's very healthy. And that's amazing when you got, you know, raped and molested. And of course, I mean, it was through the Holy Spirit. We came here actually several times. We never told that, but we came here several times on the Father Heart conference here. We're sitting in the back as undercover and just getting healing. Chester and Betsy Kielstra really played a very important role in our life. And I just saw that they're coming here soon from Hendersville. Great people. But you know, when I look to Rebecca's life, I really can say there's hope for everybody. There's hope for everybody. Jesus is still alive. He is. He is. I want to ask the band to come to the front. I also want to say to the men, if your wife is a seer, please listen to her. Like, if the band can come, like, when I don't see angels and demons. I only see you, and you're looking beautiful.
I just don't see angels and demons. And so in the beginning of our ministry, and even though we value ministry lower than family with three great kids, we were in India. This is my last little story. And again, man, please listen to your wives. And so here we are, a huge conference. It was outside. 114,000 Hindus came to Jesus in 3 days. It was fantastic. I mean, it was crazy stuff. But, you know, I was getting a little bit tired, and I was white at that time, not anymore. I was literally dressing myself up like Benny Hinn. I had this white suit with all gold. I mean, I think I beat my jacket, my suit to him. I don't wear this stuff anymore. Why? Because they attract flies. You can ask her. We had, this is not exaggerating, I know evangelists exaggerate sometimes, but I had bees like this, because I was on the platform, it was in the night, light shining outside, and they were crawling into my neck, and they were serious biting me all over. I mean, Rebecca had to really help me after the meeting, because I was completely bruised in the back. And so, when again a bee was in my jacket to sting me, I was like, doing like this and this. But you know, you can do that in charismatic meetings. It doesn't matter. I mean, come on. That's the reason I love charismatic meetings. I love soaking. You can fall asleep and everybody think you are with the Lord. I love it. I'm honest. I love it. Oh, Lala Moshandai. I'm honest. And so, you know, I'm here all bruised and I want to get home. I was so in pain. But it was like this long line. And I really felt not to pray anymore, because I was tired, you know, and I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, I think, I listened to my flesh. And there was this lady, and it was dark, so it was late, and it was quite demonic. It was like, even though the harvest was great, we felt like a spiritual warfare. And so this lady, she asked for prayer. Well, she didn't understand anything English, so you can say grass or cow, or you can say everything, it doesn't matter. And so I said, in Jesus' name, Lord, bless her, whatever she needs. And she starts to do like this. Whoa, oh. Again, I still come from a Baptist background. I'm like, what is this? What is like? So I asked the band to play this great song. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain, you know. And then suddenly I looked down on my shoes. And it was serious. It was raining on my shoes. I'm like, what in the world is this? And this lady, she had this Indian sari. Just close in Sahari. Never mind, Shandai. And she's doing, so I said, in Jesus' name. And she was like, wow, it was getting weather over my shoes. I'm like, this is weird. Open the floodgates of heaven. And I'm like, this is abnormal. And so I was so sick and tired that this, I thought demon was not getting out. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this demon. And she was again, whoa, whoa, screaming louder. And then I hear a very soft knock on my shoulder. It was my wife. She is so amazing. She said, Matt, she doesn't have a demon. Her water just broke and she gets a baby. I'm like, what? What? Is serious? She was in labor. I couldn't believe it. I was so in shock about this. So the catchers, you know, brought her to another little mud hut, and she delivered a baby. I mean, it was a real deliverance, by the way. It was a real one. But so I learned really to to listen to my wife since that event. Open the floodgates of heaven. So please don't sing that song. And watch your shoes. I don't know why I share this. Arashakabuku. Everlasting joy will be ours, Lord. Ah. We want to lay hands on everybody.
So I want to ask John and Patricia to come and try to lead this decently, please. But we really feel that we really would love to minister to you. We can do this in 5 minutes, okay? You saw Holy Spirit, fellow people. So very quickly, if you're here and you say, you know, I just want to receive again this dead anointing, that fresh wind. What?
Listen, you got us into this mess. You can't leave yet. All right. Okay, listen, I believe that there's a real anointing for faith that the Lord wants to release. And for those people that want to stand up to receive that gift of faith, come to the front. We want to make sure, yeah, stand up where you are and start making your way to the front. We need to make sure that there's enough room between people.
I think, actually, can we get some under the flags? I do feel that we should, all over the room, just the lines all over the room. We're not going to be able to fit everybody in the front, but even under the flags, we're going to release even some of our cell leaders, ministry team, the interns, please. We do want to just open this up for prayer, but under the flags, if you could come under the, as well as at the back of the room.
And give enough room between the rows, please, so that, you know, there's a little bit of time. If we could have some catchers, just walk along with Mateus and with others. Okay, how many people can catch? You'll get ministry, you get the overflow of all the other good stuff as well. We have catchers. Raise your hands if you're willing to catch.
So once again, we're going to have to just have two lines in the front. And otherwise, all around the rim. You know how we have a line here, along the back, all around the room. Maybe somebody can help us. Amy and Kevin, can you help that, please? Can you get that line going along there and around and in the back as well as on the flags? So we're not going to be able to pray for people. We're going to, you know, we don't want any injuries. I know they did in Myanmar. Come, Holy Spirit. Rather have you not falling on each other. We're going to ask Mateus to pray to release this. There is such a spirit of faith, of revival. One of the singers last night from Kansas City had a phenomenal prophetic song last night all about revival in Toronto. God breaking it open again. It was a phenomenal prophetic song that kept going on and on about what God is about to do again, you know, and the water level is rising. We've heard so many prophetic words. We're just going to ask what Mateus carries for him to pray, you know, a release in us. The well is here, but we need to have everything uncapped for the geyser to burst forth. So again, ministry team, we want you helping too.
And Rince, can you come up and pray as well? Rince, raise your hands. You, Rince is with them, part of the House of Heroes. Yes. Just incredible faith, I believe, as well. Yes. So we want to see the team release it.
Okay, just right now, just receive. Also, all the people home, you're watching. You know, you are part of this impartation of faith. So right now, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I thank you that Jesus rose up again, that the curse is broken, and that faith is being released until this day. So Lord, we receive in Jesus' name that faith, that boldness, fire right now in Jesus' name, and all over the place. Just don't watch when somebody comes by. Receive it just right now, and everlasting joy will be yours. What I keep hearing from the Lord is faith and joy, faith and joy, faith and joy. So I want to ask also the rest of the ministry team, it doesn't matter who's going to pray for you, I want to release you guys to an iron rose and the Catch the Fire team of this church. Please go around right now and lay hands on people. Don't prophesy, just say, in Jesus' name, receive faith. Receive faith, and something will happen unique in the Spirit. Amen.
So again, if we can ensure that we've got catchers that are with our team, Rince is going to pray, the number ministry team with Mateus. And just pray that impartation. Be in a place that you're ready to receive. Let your heart be in that...